And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Swings here and he drives one deep into center. Puig is racing back, still going back. He looks up. It's gone! Over the center field wall for Hunter Pence. Pence will touch them all and score them all. A grand slam for Hunter Pence.
It's not easy when it's tough. That's when you find out what you're made of.
You get so much Brisby in your ears if you want it. If you want Brisby, oh gosh, you get it.
Anybody want coffee? I'm making coffee. Anybody want?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
You're listening to The Baseball Barista with Hunter Pence and Grant Brisby on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode number 10 of The Baseball Barista with Hunter Pence and Grant Brisby. I am Grant Brisby. I'm here with Hunter Pence. Hunter, how are you doing today?
Grant, I am so excited for this show. As always, baseball continues to surprise me, and there's so many fun things happening this season.
It is now officially a third of the way through the season. So baseball season, 162 games. Most of the teams have passed the 54 game mark. So this is your first season watching, and we talked about your view of how time passes. Is it surprising? Does it feel natural that we're a third of the way through the season? Or are you looking around going, what the heck? Didn't it just start? How are you reacting to this passage of time?
I mean, exactly the same as I said last week. Like, it feels like a third of the season's gone by in the blink of an eye. And I'm just like, what? A third of the season? Like, no way. Can we slow down? Like, and when you're playing, a third of the season is a huge toll on your body. You know, there obviously there's been tons of injuries. And most of these guys are, you know, they're grinding right now. It feels like an eternity to be a third of the season as a player.
That's something I wondered about. So a third of the season, we're like, oh, it's early. Oh, you know, you can always turn, you know, you're looking at a player struggles and you're thinking, oh, don't worry, it's early. But when you're on the field, you're playing like a third of the season's like, oh gosh, oh, I'm creaky. Like, you know, it feels different. It hits different.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily like, oh gosh, but it's like you put in work because, you know, you gotta add in like, you know, all of these guys getting ready in spring training, playing, you know, 30, 40 games there. The intensity of, you know, the start of the season and the emotions. And you're in your stride, you're in your rhythm, your body's used to it. You're doing all the ice tub, whatever, you've gotten your flow. But it's been a body of work for them. And, you know, staying healthy and working every day to get better, improve, like making adjustments. So it's easy street being a fan, just looking at it, like watching all of these shifts and changes and crazy things that have happened throughout the season. And some of these teams that are making some runs here, some pushes here, honestly, to me, I feel like it's been a roller coaster of like, you know, who's hot, who's not. The power rankings, I've been, you know, following what, you know, the MLB power rankings. I'm not sure who it is that votes on that. Has just been a carousel in and of itself. But yeah, as a fan, it's been super fun to kind of look at it from a broad perspective through, you know, kind of a little bit of a Giants fan. Eyes being here in San Francisco. But as a player, you are grinding.
Yeah, no, that is good. It allows us to segue into what's going on with these standings, the rankings, because a third of the way through the season for me, you really get a sense of, okay, this is legit. Because if you have a team that's hot in April, they're hot. And it's like, wow, where did, you know, the Montreal Expos come from? And then May is when they're supposed to just all of a sudden play to the level you were expecting. So now you're looking at, you know, the Red Sox, you're looking at the Giants, and you're seeing that they're doing this while also outscoring their opponents by a bunch, the run differentials there. And you start to go, oh, okay. You see a team like the Twins who aren't like charging up the central standings, but they're playing a little bit better. They're playing like they're not trapped, you know, in a vending machine. Like they're starting to be a normal baseball team. So you start to see things that become legit. So what are you seeing with these teams? Like are they legit teams, illegitimate teams? What do you got?
Well, you know, the Twins do look like they buried themselves quite a bit. And, you know, they've had some big injuries and stuff. But, you know, you got to remember, it was just, you know, the last full complete season we had, you know, not the COVID season. The team that won it all was the Nationals, who, or maybe I'm missing a year here, but the whole 2020 thing was like, Twilight Zone. But I believe that the Nationals, what was their record? They had like some like terrible start, like 17-30 or like something terrible, similar to the Twins, and they just got hot and they beat that Dodgers team that had 100 and, you know, a billion wins, and they just took everyone down. They even beat the Astros, who, you know, in 2019 I was in their division, and man, did they had Verlander, Cole, man, talk about a totally different pitching staff here in 2021, both competing for Cy Youngs, both striking out 300. You know, they were just a juggernaut. So they took down both the Dodgers and the Astros, not to mention whoever else they beat in the championship series. So it's definitely possible. You can't sleep on some of those teams this way. I would love it, Grant, if you gave us the actual numbers, though, of what the Nationals were when they made the turnaround.
The Nationals, as of May 23rd, 2019, were 19-31. So, you know, deep under 500. They had a little history where they had done that before. Like, they had just buried themselves. And there was one year early in the Bryce Harper era where they couldn't quite get back. They got back to like 85 wins, but it was that early start that buried them. But they buried themselves. And so by the time June starts, by the time we're, you know, where we're standing right now, they were still 6, 7, 8 games under 500 and 8 games back in the division. I mean, it took a run for them to get back. So yeah, right now you think you have a good handle on it, and you probably do, but there's always like that Nationals team that's lurking in the background.
That's what I'm saying. It's like we're watching this, and we're watching this carousel of like the, you know, they're the power rankings, and then all of a sudden, so like the Twins, if there was it, and I'm sure that's who you're going to say because we're bringing it out, but if there was a team, because the Twins right now are 22-32, and that's not even quite as bad as like as 19-31. It's they're ahead of the 2019 World Series champion right now, and that's the bottom 10.5 games back in the Central Division. If you were to pick a team that was going to do that, is that who you're taking as the Twins?
Yeah, I'm not seeing a ton. You know, I've mentioned the Reds before. I just think that the Reds defense, the more I watch the Reds, the iffier they become is like, you know, they have Suarez playing shortstop. They have just, they're trying to get as much offense in there as possible. And I'm not sure that that gamble's paying off. So I think it's the Twins. You know, I'm looking around. The Blue Jays have already started, you know, charging up a little bit more. The Angels maybe, but they would need Trout back. They would need to get a little bit more on the starting pitching side. So I'll go Twins.
Okay. If I have to pick one of those teams that is like not even in it at all right now, and all, you know, has a chance, in my opinion, to make a crazy push, you're going to be shocked here. You're going to be shocked here. I want to hear before I even say this, just because I like to play these games. Who would you guess that I would say starting with you're going to be shocked here?
Starting with you're going to be shocked. So I'm looking at the
Twins.
Teams. Yeah, not the Twins. So if we're looking at teams that are sort of down, not in the conversation right now, you know, there are some that I feel comfortable writing off right away. The Orioles, the Pirates, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks. So I'm going to go right back to the... It's going to be the NL East. It's going to be either the Marlins or the Nationals. But I did the power rankings for the Athletic this week, and I called the Marlins one of the more underrated teams in baseball.
Man, right before they lost, you got
right
me,
before
dude.
They lost four games. So I'm going to go Marlins.
They lost four games right before you called them the sneaky pick. Well, they have the pitching. They have the pitching. I don't know why they're kind of where they are, to be honest. I like pitching. I think they have some athletes. I think they have some talent, and I think they could get hot for sure. Another team, though, now that I mention it, and I'm looking at this and I'm remembering the Nationals from 2019, some teams that are kind of doing some stuff and things, as we say in the gaming world, Brewers and Mariners. Mariners are, you know, they were really hot, then they kind of fell off, then they... And I'm just kind of like watching the kind of flow. And I don't think that they have like the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, they got X Factor potential. They got Springer. They got Glad. They got Bo Bichette, who hasn't necessarily gotten hot. I don't know if he's been hurt or not. Teoscar Hernandez, who's one of the most underrated hitters in baseball and one of the hardest workers. I played with him in the Dominican. He's amazing human. That's where I feel like we're doing this carousel of power rankings. And I feel like there's just, it's so much stuff is up for grabs. But you pinned me on the Marlins. I can't believe it. I'm kind of hurt.
No, you know what? Because it's the pitching. You can't fake the starting pitching. When you have three starting pitchers who know, or like three starting pitchers who are just good, like you're going to go out there with Alcantara, Lopez, and Rodgers, and you know you have a chance to win that day. It doesn't matter who's hitting cleanup, if it's Adam Duvall or Garrett Cooper or someone who maybe isn't a prototypical cleanup hitter as far as the overall offensive package. But you can't fake the starting pitching. And when you have Sixto Sanchez coming back at some point, that's going to be four starting pitchers that nobody wants to face. And you can figure out, okay, this isn't working. This position isn't working. It's now July. Let's improve blank. Let's get another outfielder. Let's get another infielder. You can do that. You can't fake the starting pitching quite as easy.
Yeah, and speaking of starting pitching, let's talk about the New York Mets and their, you know, obviously they're having some offensive struggles, but they have three starters. If the Mets get into the playoffs, it's going to be a nightmare. I don't care who you are. What Stroman, Taijuan Walker, and DeGrom are doing right now is borderline nuts. It's crazy. So talk to me a little bit about, have you done any deep dive at all with the Mets right now? And I mean, Lindor hasn't gotten hot yet, and he's going to get going.
I actually feel responsible for the Mets not running away with the division because I drafted, like, on my fantasy team, which is nationally only, it's like all Mets. I've got Jeff McNeil. I've got Brandon Nimmo. I've got Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso just came back. Everyone else on the injured list. Even DeGrom went to the injured list. Like, the Mets are in a weird spot where they don't have the shiniest run differential. They, you know, they've scored as much as they've given up. At the same time, even in a season where all teams are scuffling with injuries for the most part, the Mets have been hit particularly hard with McNeil, with Conforto, with Nimmo. You know, just go down the list, and they've been hit really, really hard in that lineup with injuries. So the fact that they're in first in the East and they're like kind of trending upward, that says a lot to me, because once they get McNeil back, once they get Conforto back and Nimmo back, it's a better lineup than I think that they've shown at any point this year.
The Kevin Pillar coming back to hit, and like I'm a huge Kevin Pillar grit fan, just watching how he plays defense, how hard he plays on the field. It's inspiring as a baseball lover to see someone that like gets hit in the face, comes back 2 weeks, gets a knock. And, you know, that was a pretty special moment. And, you know, what he said after he got hit in the face is he's like, my face will heal, but like my heart's broken because I can't play. That's some grit that you like. That's some spirit that lights your team on fire. And that's some leadership, like, you know, just by your actions are leading, you know, and like you could feel that he meant it. He was genuinely like his face is all messed up and he's genuinely like, my heart's broken because I can't be out there for the team. That is awesome. Like, hats off to that mindset. And I really like feeling that. And like, you know, a lot of the Pete Alonso story and stuff, when these guys get healthy, they have James McCann can hit. Like, they're just, maybe it's been cold, I'm not sure, but I expect this offense to get going because they're towards the bottom in runs scored. But I remember I was looking at like runs scored and I was pretty shocked to see that. So I think that their offense is going to pick it up. Lastly, Grant, what I really like, besides obviously the three starters that are going to be great in a potential playoff series, is I look at their bullpen, and this is what I think is the X factor for winning championships, like winning the World Series. And all of these guys are tried and true. All of these guys like have been there, done that, having good seasons. These guys are horses. Edwin Diaz, Miguel Castro, Trevor May, Yoris Familia, having a great season, and he's disgusting when he's healthy. Just like solid Aaron Loop, also a 257 right now. So just a solid, there's five, six guys right there that you bring in the playoffs and it's like, these guys are going to set the tone. They're going to have mound presence and they're going to bring the thunder. So like, I like the way the Mets are looking. So, you know, the NL East is kind of interesting to me and I'm surprised at how kind of underperforming they've been. But let's talk about the flows, like who's on the up right now. Cause I know there's a couple teams I want to talk about. I want to hear who you have to talk about.
So if we're talking about teams that are on the up, it's going to sound like a little bit like a broken record, but I'm going to start with the team I know the best, which is the Giants, because after the Dodgers came into San Francisco and waxed them, it was a little bit of a, you know, cold water to the face. It was like, oh, okay, there's levels here. There are tiers, and the Dodgers are on this tier, and the Giants are on this tier. And then they went to L.A., they lost the first game. It's like, all right, this is just how it's going to go.
They got two games in Arizona, some pretty crazy ones, too.
But you know what? It's like you win Arizona. It's like, well, yeah, but you're supposed to. And like your brain starts playing these tricks. It's like, you know, every team's a tough game. And like, that's not how it works. But you're still thinking like, yeah, but you can't beat the Dodgers. They go and they beat the Dodgers or they lose to the Dodgers. Like, ah, this is just how it's going to be. Then they win three, the last three of the series to take that series. And all of a sudden, it's a little bit different narrative. You know, the Giants are a legitimate team. And that's what I'm talking about. A third of the way through the season, it's hard to fake what the Giants are doing. There's still two-thirds of the season left. There's still pitfalls. There's still booby traps that can snatch any team. But they look like, you know, they belong in a lot of different ways.
They're legit good. They can pitch. Yastrzemski getting the thumb injuries is not good, but they keep, you know, turning in a new guy and a new guy as people go down. They have tremendous depth. They have really good pitching. That was in a really tight series. That robbery of the Pujols home run, that fence is so much taller than you realize. Like, because I've gone and I like practice, like I visualize, you know, every field. Like you try to get your feel for the outfield, and like I'm like, man, this fence is super high. Like it doesn't look that high, but it's like 10-foot high-ish fence. And he timed that so ridiculously perfect. That was a very, very difficult catch. Very tough guy. And then he took 97 in the ribs like the next day and just kind of walked the first. So I love the gritty toughness of the Giants. And I'm a homer, so I don't want to sit here and like toot the horn of the Giants. But they are in first place right now. And the team that I wanted to pinpoint and another division that's so many interesting divisions. Like, there's so much up for grabs. We're third of the way through the season, and I don't think we've defined anything. And they want to do power rankings, but it's still a Ferris wheel as far as I'm concerned. The Chicago Cubs are now in the Central Division lead. They just, like, I think they played three games. They took two out of three from the Padres, and these Padres were on fire. They just lit up the Astros. They were lighting up everybody. And the Astros are hot, too, right now, by the way. There's another team. So Cubs, Astros are, like, my two teams that I'm watching, like, they're doing this stuff and things. Talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on the Cubs and the Astros right now.
Yeah, the Cubs, I mean, they started the season in a way where there was a lot of grumbling because their offseason was not a contender's offseason. They didn't get a Yu Darvish. They gave away a Yu Darvish. You know, they kind of went into that offseason going, okay, we've got some maintenance to do and the salary and this and that. And like, that's not what you want to hear if you're a Cubs fan. You waited 100 years to get your one championship and that's it. Poof, you know, let's rebuild. Like, you don't want to hear that. So when they started the season as slowly as they did, the grumbling was intense, and I you cannot blame that. The hitting's come around. The pitching is definitely coming around. Like Kyle Hendricks looked like he was woof on something bad, and now he's starting to pitch better. He's starting to look like Kyle Hendricks again. You've got components here, and you can look toward the offseason when you've got Rizzo and Baez and Bryant as free agents, and you know, what are the Cubs going to do? I get that. At the same time, they're hitting, they're playing, they're doing stuff now, and they're a fun team to watch for sure.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, their starting pitching is very underwhelming. They got some bullpen arms right now. Dan Winkler's 0.51, Craig Kimbrell 0.78, really looking good. So if they can get to the pen, but here's what they're doing is they're banging. They really started slow with the hitting, but I think Bryant's having just an absolute incredible year. His OPS, 996. You know, him coming back and being the Chris Bryant has been awesome. My man Matt Duffy's brought a spark. But here's one that I'm very interested in. One of my favorite teammates, a good teammate, we had some breakfast, just one of the most positive guys. And he was going through one of the toughest years that you could ever have. Patrick Wisdom, 4 home runs in 8 games. He is one of the most physically gifted athletes I've ever seen. And I remember he got sent back down to AAA with the Rangers, and I was checking in on him, and apparently he got super hot towards the end of that year. He needed glasses and didn't know it. I mean, this guy is an absolute savage. Like, he is so strong. And I mean, obviously you're seeing Javier Baez and he's doing what he does. And that was a huge series against the Padres. And, you know, they got Rizzo, they got Contreras, who's another just solid catcher, does everything right. You know, he's having a solid year, close to 800 OPS. So they have an offense and they have pitching that keeps them in it and a bullpen that shuts you down. So I think the Cubs are on the rise. And I think that Padres series was kind of a statement.
I could see that. And you know, the Cubs have, with Patrick Wisdom, there's two things I like about this story. The first is the idea of he's not the first, he won't be the last. Players who are like, oh, I'm not seeing the ball as well as I could. oh, you know, like that's like a, it's not a common trope, but it's like it happens and it fascinates me because it's like, holy, like of all the things, like getting in shape, you know, lifting weights, like all the things you try and do to improve your physicality and stuff. Seeing the ball seems pretty dang important. So like, I love that story. If that maintains, and also I just like the name. It's a baseball name, Paddy Wisdom. You know what I mean? Like that just rolls off the tongue. So I know he's 29. He hasn't quite sustained this before, but I mean, if he can keep this going, like that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not many at bats, and I don't think he's going to keep a 1658 OPS going. He's going to bring some potential thunder. They're a team that I'm very intrigued by right now. And as we're like a third of the way through the season, and I'm calling it the Ferris wheel right now, because I think we have a lot more drama to go through. But I do like that the White Sox-Cubs series is going to be pretty intense because they're both leading their divisions. The Indians haven't fallen out of it, and I haven't given them any. I keep like not even really looking, but they just keep being good. And, you know, I know that there's good baseball people in that organization. They've been good for quite a long time now. So I just want to tell a little story, Grant. And I know it's probably too early, but we're a third of the way through the season. So I just want to keep things in perspective. And the Rays, by the way, we haven't brought them up or even gone to the AL East. So we definitely have some more things to cover. But I just want to bring up this story as we're sitting where we are a third of the way through the season, enjoying the drama unfold. I remember one day I was in Chicago. I think I was playing with the Phillies. It was 2011. And all of the divisions were, it was the last month of the season. There was an article in the newspaper. And it was talking about how it's so boring because every division is completely out of range. Because like every division was like 7-game differential. There wasn't a single division that wasn't, and this is the last month of the season, that wasn't divided by 7 games. And this was the season that we had the magical game 162, where the Cardinals made this crazy comeback where we beat the Braves on the last day. They swept the Astros to clinch the wild card spot. The Rays ended up beating the Yankees, maybe. Longoria hit that crazy home run. And like everything was decided on the last day of the season. And the Orioles, the Red Sox were up big. The Rays were down big. And it was like whoever won that got into the playoffs or whatever. And the Red Sox ended up losing and blowing a lead to the Orioles. So the Orioles came back and won. And the Rays went to the, you know, extra innings or something. And then came back from like a, like they both came back from like a 6-run deficit. It was the craziest. Do you remember that game 162?
That was the first year as a professional baseball writer. So 2011 is the year that I am down on, you know, the depth chart, so to speak. So I am in charge of like handling breaking news and writing quick little bits, 150 word bits, building off of it. And so if in a normal day, one of those games happens, it's on me to break it out, to go through and be like, okay, here's what this means. Like Longoria, here's the pitch sequence. Like, and I'm trying to break it down as best I can while going for speed, going for the Google rankings. And there's a little bit of a mechanical feel to it, but I'm also trying to make it interesting. But when every team in baseball is seemingly just going bananas, and you know, the Cardinals came back from like a 9-game deficit that September, so they had to climb their way back up. Like everything about that game was bananas. And so, yes, I was not prepared for that day. And I remember it very, very well.
It was a wild, wild day. And I just want to reiterate that, like, you know, the Cardinals were 9 games back in the last month of the season. The Twins are only 10 and a half with 2/3 of the season left. So we ain't seen nothing yet.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Who are you taking as, like, they're solid, they are going to hold it down, like, this is the team? Because, like, I was big on the Cardinals, and we haven't even gone off, you know, them losing the lead in the Central Division. I know it's super early, but who's legit? Like, you're not taking them off the throne.
Are we talking Central, or are we going throughout baseball?
I'm talking, just look at all the divisions. This team is not losing the throne.
Okay, so if I'm going to talk a contest, you know, they're all contested, so you can make an argument for any team up there. I feel really, really, really comfortable.
Everything
about
is
the White
super
Sox.
Contested right now.
I feel comfortable about the White Sox. In again, it feels like we just don't talk about the Indians. Like, you brought them up every time I look, it's like
they're only 2.5 back.
Yeah, I expect the White Sox to be leading by like 5 games, 6 games, and the Indians are always sort of right there, and they're not hitting. And by not hitting, I mean like at all. They have a .218 team batting average. Their team on base percentage is .291. They're below the .300 mark. There's a stat that I always look at called adjusted OPS, which just gives you a real quick snapshot of how the league is doing, what the ballpark they play in. 100 is league average. If your team OPS is like 110, you're doing great. The Indians adjusted OPS as a team is 84, which is bonkers. That is so far down there. So they're not hitting, which means, of course, that they're pitching. You've got, Bieber. You've got a bullpen that's doing some really good things. I just don't know if I can buy that offense. So I keep expecting the White Sox to go and stretch it. And they haven't done it yet, but that's, if I'm going to pick one of the 6 division leaders to hang on without question, it's the White Sox. And I feel bad about ignoring the Indians, but White Sox.
I think that is the best pick, like, as far as, like, because the only other one that looks kind of solid, I mean, they have the biggest lead. So it's the safest pick. The Rays is the other one, but you're looking at a division with like 3 other teams that could at any moment just get banana hot and just come back. So it's a tough one, but you know who I'm actually going to pick? And I'm going to actually pick a team that's not in first place. And actually, I don't know if I want to do this because of where we are. I'm not going to do it, but I'm just going to say that I think the Astros are scary for the A's. And you know, I'm in the Bay Area, and the A's have been great, and they're always great. Besides the White Sox, there's not really a clean pick. The Astros feel like they're coming.
I can see that. And, you know, I bring it up about 3 times every show. Run differential, Pythagorean win-loss. You know, when a team is outscored on the season, but they've got a fancy record, you sort of wait for the other shoe to drop. And as of this recording, the A's have been outscored by 5 runs on the season. And so I make a big deal of that usually, but I also made a note specifically for the A's when we got there that in the first 6 games of the season, they were outscored 50-13. And you can't just get rid of those games and pretend they didn't exist, that they didn't count. Like, they count. They count against their runs scored, runs allowed. They meant something. I just don't think that whatever that meant at the time, the first week of April, I'm going to apply to the A's right now, and they're humming along a little bit better. I'm going to ignore their run differential and say that they're pretty darn solid. At the same time, the Astros, they have a really good run differential, and I think there's a reason for that. They are extra scary. You know, they've got Altuve and Correa and Bregman are all starting to hum a little bit more than they did last year. They have the lineup. They have a little bit going on in the rotation with Luis Garcia. You know, like, they've got stuff going on that is, it looks legit. So I agree with you. I think the Astros are ascendant. I'm giving the A's more credit than I usually would based on their run differential. That's going to be a pretty good dogfight in the AL West.
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight. All of them are a dogfight. And it's tough to say that, you know, because I do love the A's and they just keep doing it. It's tough to pick any of them, to be honest with you right now. I even think that the Brewers, at any point, we could just be all of a sudden like, whoa, here are the Brewers, because, you know, they have some electric arms. But I'm looking right now at the A's, because a lot of times if I'm looking at a run differential and it's not like, like what you're saying, I'm curious does the other shoe drop when you see that? Because to me, when a team has a winning record but doesn't have a big run differential, it means they have a good bullpen. When they get a lead, they hold it. And like if you take off, they bring in these other, you know, they bring in these other guys and it's fine, whatever. But like once they get a lead, they hold it. So it's about just scoring more runs on the games that you're winning, right? So like that's where I think run differential can be misleading to you know, necessarily a team winning the World Series or being a team that wins a division. So, but when I'm looking at their bullpen, it seems like they definitely have, you know, because like a lot of times, like if a game gets out of hand, you bring in like, you rest your like horses and you bring in, you know, you don't see the best pitching that they have. They have a very just solid bullpen, it looks like. You know, they got the Diekman, he's doing good. Dale Guerra, Lou Trevino, and Petit, you know, these guys are solid. So I love their bullpen. But really, the A's, they just, you know, Olsen's having an incredible season. They do everything right. They play great defense. They pitch solid. And they have some dudes that can just, you know, like, hit homers. They just bang. So, they, wow, looking at this right now, I just realized they got three guys with double-digit home runs already. So, it's tough to, you know what? Like, I'm probably going to eat crow, but picking the Astros. But it's going to be a dogfight for sure. I put myself in a trap, and I took it.
You know, one thing, when I talk about the run scored, runs allowed, one thing that I always try and remember, it's the same thing with like a team's record in one run games. It's hard to sustain that for multiple years. Like if you are, I remember the 2016 Rangers, they were 36-11 in one run games, which is like just bananas. And you could say, yes, that's not sustainable. And the next year they reverted back to a normal team. At the same time, those wins are in the bank. So if a team's winning and they're getting outscored on the season, but they've still won a lot, you don't take those wins away. You don't retroactively like repossess them. They're in the bank. So now you've got a team that's at the top of the division playing for the rest of the season. So who cares what the A's run differential is now? Those wins are in the bank. If they're playing like they've played over the last couple months for the remainder of the season, who cares how they got those first wins, whether it's one run wins or just winning the close ones and getting blown out in the losses. Those wins are there. They're not going away.
It's going to be interesting to see. The Astros offense, as you look at it, is just, it's decked with just beasts. Guys having great seasons. Alvarez is back. I think that's huge for the Astros. Gurriel's 881 OPS. Altuve, 842 OPS. Carlos Correa, 820 OPS. Alex Bregman, 836. And most of these guys are tried and true and get better as you go on. Brantley's on the IL. You know, Tucker's got a 798 OPS. And then Alvarez with the 878. And I think he's going to continue to climb because he missed a whole season. So, you know, you look at that. And you look at their starting pitching, and they got six guys here, five of which are doing phenomenal. McCullers is on the IL. Bullpen kind of shaky, but they can probably make a trade for that. So the Astros are just, they're coming. You know, they're scary.
When you get injured, you don't want to wait for answers and options. That's why it may be time to explore the Nano Experience, a revolutionary treatment option designed to help active people get back to the lifestyles they love. Nanotechnology allows surgeons to see inside even the smallest joints and treat orthopedic conditions with a tiny camera and other nano instrumentation, all through a barely there poke hole incision. Wherever you've experienced an injury, whether it be a foot and ankle, hand and wrist, shoulder and elbow, knee or hip, nanoarthroscopy can be used to diagnose and treat your condition in an extremely, minimally invasive way. Don't wait to learn about the revolutionary Nano Experience and how it could help you or someone you know after an injury. Visit arthrex.info/theathletic. This is not medical advice and is not meant to be a substitute for advice from your physician. Talk with your physician about your health condition, potential surgical risks, and whether Arthrex products are right for you. Postoperative management is patient-specific and dependent upon your physician's assessment. Individual results will vary.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, you wanted to talk about home runs and like the home run race and what's going on. You have a junior in either league going bananas with the home runs. So what are you seeing with the home run? Like, I'm interested in that because when you're a player, are you keeping tabs on this? You know who's leading the league in home runs in the National League, the American League when you're a player, or is this something that you're kind of diving into now on the other side?
Oh, of course. Like, I mean, pretty much every day you get on the bus after the game, you go look kind of what the rest of the league did, the highlights, you go through, you know, the app or whatever, and, oh, this team got in a fight. Oh, this guy, he hit another homer. He hit another homer. They did this. They did that. Everyone's talking about everything. And, you know, every day you get to the field, MLB, you know, the shows are all on and everyone's listening. So you're definitely, you're in the cocoon of baseball. I love that. I think it was Wade Boggs who called it the cocoon of baseball. You're in this little world and you're all paying attention to everything. And 100%, I love the home run race, and we're a third of the way through the season, and we have the three juniors, and then my man Adolis Garcia, who's got an incredible swing as well. But it's pretty cool. I was like, I thought that this was really interesting, and these are three extraordinarily young players that have a ton of swag. So all of these homers are like, they're just like doing the crazy. It's like, who can be crazier? Who can throw the bat more and stand longer? So we're watching some pretty, pretty electric, pretty exciting home runs. And it's, you know, the Vlad Jr., we got Ronald Acuna Jr., and we got Fernando Tatis Jr. So the junior battle's really fun, and I'm hoping that it continues and they stay healthy and we get to watch this. But man, are their bats whipping through the zone so good. It's going to be tough not to take Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just because, like, watching his swing, it's, I mean, obviously all their swings are so good, but he is just torquing everything.
Vladimir Guerrero, okay, so he's just 22. And we've known he's been coming for a long time. And then there's like that sense when he's up at 20 and he's going through some normal baseball things at 21. It's like, wow, is this ever going to happen? It's like, okay, come on, let's focus. He's like the age of a college senior, give or take. Now what he's doing, he's leading the American League in home runs as of this recording. It's the way he's doing it that is just bananas to me, because if you look at the top five home run hitters right now, second place, you've got Acuna. He strikes out 20% of the time. Third place is Garcia. He strikes out almost 30% of the time. Fourth place is Ohtani. He strikes out 29% of the time. Fifth place is Devers, 28% of the time. And that's baseball now. It's hitters looking to make the maximum amount of damage on every swing. Strikeouts happen. Who cares? Guerrero, he's got a 14% strikeout rate, which is really, 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 really low for the game of 2021. And he's 22. Like, his hit tool, it's like his power tool is obvious, but his hit tool is just bonkers, and I can't get over it.
And that's what I'm seeing when I'm watching like the clips, is how clean his swing is, how clean his approach is. It's not ridiculous. But Tatis Jr., if he stays healthy, it's going to be insane too, because that's a great point, by the way, Grant. But you didn't mention, what's Tatis Jr.'s strikeout percentage? And the reason I ask is because I'm watching him hit home runs on balls a foot outside. Like Tatis Jr. is just like, I don't know where he gets this power from. And it's mega pop, and it's mega coordination, and it's mega athleticism. But like, he hits balls like a foot outside, he hits balls a foot inside. But that's the thing also about Guerrero, is like, he doesn't necessarily, neither him or Tatis needs a good pitch to hit out. You could try to walk them and they're going to hit a homer.
You know why I miss Tatis entirely? Is because I'm looking at the FanGraphs leaderboard, and it's sorted by qualified plate appearances. So he doesn't qualify for the batting title right now, which is like extra, extra wild.
What's his home runs per at bat then?
I will have to look that up, but his, to answer your question about his K rate, he is, let me sort by home runs. That makes sense, because you kept bringing up like the three juniors at the top, and I was like, yeah, that's right. He struck out 25.5% of the time. So he's like a 2021 player, right? You know, he's banging. He's looking for maximum damage. That's just sort of what he does. Now, his home runs per plate appearance, let me get this. Tatis, he hits a home run almost 10% of his plate appearances, so 9.7% of his plate appearances, which is high, you know. And like you said, he's a big dude. He's 6'3". You know, he's a strong, athletic guy. It's a baseball kind of athleticism. Like, he's not going up there like the tight end for the Patriots. You know what I mean? Like, he's looking like a baseball player, like a strong, you know, athletic, whippy baseball player. And he's got the look.
Man, I don't know. I know he's way bigger than I think, but I think of him as like, he looks like this like skinny kid up there. And, you know, he is tall and he's got like, he's crazy shredded and ripped and all that. But that flexibility, the speed, and I mean, he's kind of slender. He's, you know, he's a skeleton up there, but he's definitely as athletic as they come, explosive as they come. And he doesn't need you to throw him a strike. But the thing that's so exciting about Vlad Guerrero Jr. is you hear like the word through the grapevine is that, you know, he had never really lifted weights. He was just kind of natural. And that he like really got into like lifting weights this offseason. And like I said, his swing is, it just looks like he tightened up a lot of things. It's a really clean move that allows him to hit a lot of pitches. And watching even like the defensive highlights from him, he's running fast. He's moving really well. So these are the things, and like the low strikeout percentage, it's like he's got the hands of his dad, the Vladimir Guerrero hands, with like a really great approach and just incredible pop. Just like you saw at the Home Run Derby when he was 21. It's like hitting a home run for him is like, you know, for all of us, opening and shutting a door. It's like effortless, you know, he just does it. So it's going to be really fun to watch. Tatis Jr. stays healthy. Ronald Acuna, he's hitting a lot of homers too. And Adolis Garcia is pretty amazing as well. So the home run race is something that we all love to watch as baseball fans. And I love the belly yelly. And every time we got on the bus, we'd be like, belly hit another one. Yelly hit another one. That one was really fun. And it was cool to say belly yelly. So we have to come up with a name for the junior race. The Maguire Sosa, I remember as a kid. And then obviously the Bonds run. These are things that are like super exciting for baseball. And it's cool that we have three juniors in the mix. So I don't know. What do we want to call the junior race? Junior, junior, junior.
It's got to, you
remember the name like, that Molina?
It's got to be
name
something
that
to place
Molina,
out
so
junior.
Now it's name that junior. Name that junior.
Like you get junior mints, junior. Like I'm trying to think of different puns you can make it. We'll figure that out. The idea that Vladimir Guerrero, like you said it, you hinted at it. It's like, well, you know, his dad had the athleticism and everything, and now you've got junior. I remember watching his dad play, and it was kind of like, boy, what if he were more selective? What if you could take this athleticism, this raw baseball talent? And Vlad Sr. was known for like hitting balls that would bounce off the plate, a foot outside. He'd take it to right field. He was just so strong, so quick, so good. One of the most exciting baseball players I've ever seen. But you always had that hint like, well, what if he could just be that player, but like a more controlled fury, like within the strike zone? And like, it's happening, and it's his son, and like, it's bizarre to think like it's almost like I wished it into existence. It's like, yes, I get to see this.
It's fun times as a baseball fan to see that. Name that junior is going to be a good time. We'll see next week who's still in the lead, how smart we are, and how dumb baseball makes us look.
All right. This has been episode 10 of the Baseball Barista podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week to jabber about baseball. Thanks a lot.
Jibber jabber.
I love coffee.